31. We're going to make a wee start just to our meeting tonight by singing together just the first hymn or carol there in our wee hymn sheet. O come all ye faithful, joyfully triumphant to Bethlehem, hasten now with glad accord. Lo, in a manger lies the King of Angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. A great hymn, and reminds us of the Lord Jesus, and he's the one that we are to worship, to praise, and to adore. And oh, may that be so, and even in our hearts tonight. We'll stand as we sing, as the organist leads us in our praise this evening. Tonight to the Lord, praying that we know the Lord's presence and the Lord's nearness even amongst us this evening. Let us all pray. Our loving God, our gracious Father in heaven, we come into thy presence tonight, into thy holy courts, and we come to thee in and through the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one of whom we've been singing about, the one who was indeed born for our salvation.
And Father, we thank Thee, O God, that Christ came into this world. We thank Thee that He came in the fullness, O God, of Thy time. And Father, we thank Thee that He walked amongst men. He traversed this world, the scene of time. And Father, we thank Thee that He went willingly to the cross of Calvary for us, for our salvation, for the forgiveness of our sins, for the redemption of our souls, that we might be brought out of nature's night into the glorious and marvelous liberty and light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, O God, we thank Thee tonight as Thy people that we can indeed rejoice in Christ as our Redeemer. Now we thank Thee, O God, that He died for us, that He rose again victorious. And, Father, we thank Thee that in heaven, as our great High Priest, He is praying for us. And we rejoice, O God, tonight that we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank Thee for His precious blood that cleanseth us from all sin. We thank Thee for that glorious, perfect robe of righteousness, Lord, that has been imputed to us. And Father, we thank Thee that we can rejoice in Christ tonight, and we can say of a truth that He is indeed Jehovah Sekenu, the Lord our righteousness. And O God, our Father, as we come into Thy presence, O God, tonight, even Lord, as we have been singing, our prayer would be that Thou would help us to adore Christ. Help us, Lord, to get our eyes off ourselves and off man and off our circumstances. And may our hearts and our minds be fixed upon the Lord. And may we ever be looking on to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is indeed the author and the finisher of our faith. Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O God, for Him who died for us and rose again. And we thank that Christ is coming back again one day for us to gather us to be with Himself forevermore in heaven's glory. And we rejoice, O God, tonight as Thy people that this is our hope, a hope that is secure by the blood of the cross. And, O Father, as we come before Thee this night, we pray that Thou would bless us tonight. We pray, Lord, that we might know a real sense of the presence of God. Lord, it is Thy presence that makes the feast. We pray, Lord, that Thou will close us in, Lord, with Thyself. Bless us tonight afresh around Thy word. We rejoice that Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Father, we pray that tonight Thy word will be with freshness and with power and with blessing, O God, to our hearts and to our souls, O God, in this meeting house tonight. And Lord, as we come to seek Thee in prayer, Lord, give us help. We know not what to pray for as we ought, but we thank Thee for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter Himself, who's promised to help us in our infirmity, even, Lord, in the place of prayer. Teach us to pray. Pour upon us, Lord, the Spirit of grace and prayer and supplication. And, Father, help us to call upon Thee. For Thou hast said, call unto Me, and I will answer Thee, and show Thee great and mighty things which Thou knowest not. Again, Lord, we thank Thee for all who've been able to come tonight. Bless every head bowed in Thy presence, every family and household represented, Lord. As our faces would differ, so do our needs. Yet, Lord, we rejoice tonight that Thou art upon the throne, and that Thou art one that remembers Thine own, and that, Lord, there is no limit with God, and that Thou art able to supply our every need. Bless us and encourage us, revive us and quicken us even tonight. May we go home rejoicing, Lord, tonight, that we've met with Thee, that we've heard Thy voice. Remember, Lord, those that may be viewing online tonight, whoever they might be also, wherever they might be, we pray that Thou wilt bless them and meet them also at the very point of their need. And for those that cannot join with us tonight because of age or sickness or infirmity, others, Lord, who may be tending the bed of sickness, Lord, bless them and minister to them by the grace and by the power of God. Remember others in our congregation that have suffered loss in recent times. Give comfort, give strength, we pray. And Father, we pray that Thou would bless all our families over this holiday season. Keep Thy protecting hand upon each household, upon each family. And Lord, even in our times of meeting together with loved ones and family members and friends, we pray that we might know the presence and the blessing of the Lord abiding in our homes and abiding in our families and our family circles, Lord, at this time we pray. Remember us for good. Again, we give thee thanks for the services last Lord's Day. We thank thee for those that thou didst bring in. We thank thee for visitors in under the sound of thy word. And Lord, those that were in morning and evening on sea, Lord, do speak to them. And Father, we pray, O Lord, that even through thy word and through, Lord, something that was said of thee and about thee and in accordance with thy word and truth, that it would strike a chord in some heart or some hearts, and that it would be those that would be made wise unto salvation. Have thy way amongst us now, we pray. Cleanse our hearts afresh and do our hearts much good, and glorify the Savior, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's word to the New Testament book of Colossians, to Colossians chapter number 1. We just want to read a few verses with you from this chapter, beginning at verse number 10 of the chapter, going down to the end of the verse 14. While you're looking those verses up, we welcome you all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see so many gathered with us this evening. I know it's a busy time of the year, and with different things, it's good to see each one with us here this evening. And remember the services over the weekend, pray for them. The Lord's Day service and the Lord's Day morning, 12 noon, and the evening gospel service at 7, and the both services preceded by the half hour of prayer. And our brother, the Reverend Raymond Robinson, will be long to minister God's word in the Lord's Day, so pray for him as he comes. We'll be taking the meetings down in Cash, so divine your prayer as we go there also to take the services on the Lord's Day. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. All the normal meetings are off now during the holiday season. But we're going to read just from Colossians chapter 1, beginning at the verse number 10. And here we have Paul writing to the Lord's people in Colossae. And he says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. And may God bless this reading of his word to your hearts this evening. Some weeks ago, we considered the importance of intercessory prayer. We focused particularly our thoughts around verse 9 of this chapter. And intercessory prayer is really God's people praying for others, and that is to be part of the Christian's ministry. Every Christian should be involved in that ministry. And what does intercessory prayer mean? It means praying for others, other people, saved and indeed unsaved alike. And in particular, in verse 9 of the chapter here, Paul, he prayed that the Colossian believers would increase in godly wisdom and godly knowledge. Well, whenever we come now to our Bible reading this evening, to verses 10 to 14, here we have Paul continuing to pray for this church and these believers. Here he is praying about their walk, about the walk of the Christians. In other words, that they would have a right walk in the world before God, no doubt before others. And when he talks about their walk, he's talking about their conduct, how they lived before others for Christ in the world. And he says in verse 10 there, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. This particular time, this church at Colossae was under attack from false teaching and false teachers. And in conjunction with that false teaching, there were those, and they were seeking to propagate this lie, which is really a lie of the devil, that the Christians in Colossae could live as they pleased, that it didn't matter how they conducted themselves and their affairs with others, and they could do what they wanted with their bodies. Well, such teaching was wrong, and such teaching had to be refuted, and that is one of the reasons why Paul penned this letter under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. For it does matter how the Christian lives. It does matter what the Christian does with their body. It is vital, yes, that the conduct of the Christian in the world is something that glorifies the Lord and matches their profession as believers in Christ. If we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verses 19 and 20, we see there how Paul reminded the Christians at Corinth of this very point. In 1 Corinthians 6 verses 19 and 20, he says, "What, know ye not that your body," that's the believer's body, "is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." That is something that applies to every Christian. That's what applied to these believers to whom Paul was writing to here in the church in the city of Colossae. In other words, the actions and the deeds and the conduct of the Colossians needed to match the profession of their faith as believers. And by the same applies to us. It applies to you and I also as Christians in the meeting tonight. Therefore, it's important that we look here at this prayer of Paul regarding the believer's walk in the church at Colossae. And you'll notice, first of all, here that Paul prayed that the Colossians would have a walk worthy of the Lord. That's really what he prays there in verse 10 of Colossians 1. He says, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work." And my Paul prayed that these Christians would have a worthy walk, a walk that was worthy of God. In other words, he was praying that they would have a balanced Christian life. He was, in effect, praying that they would, as it were, walk the talk as Christians. Yes, he was praying here that their conduct, their words, their deeds, their demeanor as believers would be something that would be pleasing to the Lord in all things. And this pleasing conduct would then in turn lead to the fruit of good works in their life as Christians. He says here that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, notice it, being fruitful in every good work. In essence, he was praying that they would live out their Christianity, that they would live out, as it were, the life of Christ day by day in their communities, in their family circles where they lived day and daily. And brethren and sisters in Christ, can I say this is how the Lord wants you and I also to live in our daily life as believers. This is God's will for us tonight as Christians, not just the believers in the day of Paul and the church at Colossae, but this is something that is New Testament Christianity. It says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. In other words, as Christians, our words, our deeds, and our very attitude is to be something that seeks to please the Lord in our lives day by day. Turn with me in your Bible over to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Look with me at verse number 4, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, and Paul here again is writing to the Christian. He uses the picture here of a soldier in Christ, but it's really the same thought. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in the verse number 4, he says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier." And there Paul makes it very clear that the Christian, you and I who are saved, were to seek to please God. That's to be our aim, our ambition in life, day by day, by our words, by our actions, by our attitudes. We are to live to please God. Now, we are not saved by good works. We're saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But good works is that which follows on in the life of the Christian. We are saved, the Bible says, unto good works. And we are to live to please God. And that should be our ambition day by day as the people of God. C.H. Spurgeon says, "I would not give much for your religion unless it can be seen." He says, lamps do not talk, but they do shine. In other words, a lamp is made to shine, and we're made to shine for the Lord. The Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men." And we let that light shine by our, our good works, by a walk that is worthy of the Lord in the world, by our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, seeking to please God. People, in praying for ourselves, indeed praying for our fellow Christians, even here in our church and those that we know in the community, let us pray that each one of us would have that walk that is worthy of the Lord, that is pleasing unto the Lord. But notice, secondly here, that Paul also prayed that these Colossians would have not only a worthy walk, but that they would have a knowledgeable walk. For he goes on there at the end of verse 10. He says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And here Paul was praying that these Christians would grow in their knowledge of God, that they would increase in their knowledge of God. And he prays specifically about this knowledge because he knew there was a vital link, a vital connection between their actions as believers and their knowledge of the Lord, that the two are interlinked. In other words, the more they have or more they bore the fruit of good works, so the greater their knowledge of God would be, and vice versa. The more the greater their knowledge of God would be, so the more fruit of good works would be seen and evident in their life. The two go hand in hand. That one begats the other, as it were, in an upward spiral. And the more one serves the Lord, the more they will know of God. That's a principle Christ sets for us in the Gospels. Turn back to John's Gospel, chapter number 7. John's Gospel, chapter 7, and look at what Christ says in verse 17 there of the chapter. He's writing here, speaking to God's people. And he says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of himself. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. Notice there that doing the will of God, living for Christ and knowing the Lord, and indeed the doctrine of the Lord and being acquainted with the Lord, the two go hand in hand. There cannot be one without the other. Christ says here, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. He'll become acquainted more and more with the Lord and with the things of God. You think about that principle that Christ sets before us. And why is it then that some Christians do not grow? Why is it that some Christians do not advance in their knowledge of the Lord? It is because they will not do the will of God in their lives. In other words, they will not serve the Lord. Christian, can I say to you tonight, if you and I, yes, if we are to grow in our knowledge of the Lord, then we are to live out our Christian life. We are to serve the Lord at every opportunity that comes our way. The Bible says to you and I who are saved, we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We are to live that life out before the world, living for God, serving for God. And the more we seek to serve the Lord and live for the Lord, the more we will know of the Lord, and the greater our acquaintance of the Lord will become. People, in praying for ourselves and praying for our church, yes, pray that our knowledge of the Lord would increase as you and I would seek to serve the Lord. He prayed that they would walk worthy of the Lord. He prayed that they would have a knowledgeable walk, that their knowledge of the Lord would increase. But he also prayed in the third place that these Colossians would have a powerful walk. Look again there at verse number 11. Look at what he says, all in connection with this one prayer. Verse 11 of Colossians 1, he says, strengthened with all might, he says, according to his glorious power. Notice the mention, the reference there to the Lord's power. Here Paul was praying that this church would know a continuous supply of God's strength and God's power. He was praying that this supply of divine strength would be in accordance, yes, with God's glorious power. And that being the case, it would be sufficient for them. It would be substantial for them as they sought to live the Christian life and live for God. And brethren and sisters in Christ, in praying for ourselves and praying for our fellow believers. Let us ask for that continual supply in our lives and in our ministry of God's glorious power. That's what Paul here is talking about. He says in verse 11 that you might be strengthened, he says, with all might, according to his glorious power. And the Lord is one who gives power to his people, spiritual power, spiritual strength. In the book of Isaiah, it says, he giveth power to the faint. And that's his promise to his people. And what's the outcome of the Lord's power in our lives? Look at what Paul goes on to say. The outcome is one of patience in the Christian life. He says there in Colossians 1 verse 11, he says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Notice the words, unto all patience. How important that is in the life of the Christian. What does patience mean? It means perseverance. It means endurance. Persevering in God's work, enduring in God's cause, even in the most trying and difficult of circumstances and situations. Here Paul was praying that these believers in Colossae in this church, that they would persevere, that they would be patient, even in tribulation. And so must you and I also, dear people of God, in our work and our witness for Christ. We must be patient. We must persevere. We must endure on in the ways of God and in the things of God. On one occasion, Sir Winston Churchill was addressing a group of young students about their particular life and pathway before them, whatever they were studying or seeking to do. He was near the end of life's journey, and he made this comment to them as he addressed them. He said these words. He says, young gentlemen, never give up. Never give up. Never, never, never give up. That was his advice to them as they sought out in their career and their particular field. And that's good advice for you and I who are saved tonight, to never give up, to persevere. What did Paul say to the Christians at Corinth? He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that's how it is to be with you and I as Christians day by day. I was talking recently there to someone just about other, a particular believer, husband and wife, they're missionaries in a part of the world serving the Lord that we know. And since they've went to that particular mission field that the Lord has called them to, they've had one, as it were, trouble after another. Many personal afflictions, many personal difficulties, yet they're still there. Still laboring on for the Lord, battling for the Lord, and they've had extreme difficulties to contend with. But thank God he's given them that spirit of patience, endurance, and perseverance to go on in the work that the Lord has given them and called them to do. And we are to be patient. That's one of the fruits of God's power. It leads to patience. Notice something else there that Paul mentions. He talks there about the fruit of long-suffering. He says, unto all patience and long-suffering. What does long-suffering mean? It means forbearance. We are to be long-suffering with others. We are to show forbearance towards others. The Christians here in Colossae were to be long-suffering, yes, with each other as believers, but they were also to be long-suffering and to show forbearance toward those who were outside of the church, outside of the fold of God even at that time. And people, the same applies to us as well as believers. This is something we should be praying for our lives as Christians and for our fellow believers, for patience, for long-suffering, how important that is in our lives as Christians. Turn with me back to Proverbs chapter number 16. The book of Proverbs chapter number 16. Look with me, please, at verse number 32. And look at what it says here and how applicable this is to God's people when we think of the matter of being patient and long-suffering even with others, even in the work of God and in our interaction with others day by day. It says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. In other words, the Lord is saying there that by being slow to anger, by showing patience and forbearance, even with others. That's a symbol of strength. He says it's even greater than the soldier, the warrior who would take a city. How important that is in our lives as God's people day by day. You think of Moses. The Bible says there was no greater servant of God in the Old Testament than Moses. But you know, there was a time when Moses lost his temper with God's people because of their chidings and whatever. God told him to speak to the rock. And what did Moses do? He smote the rock. And because of that, he could not lead the children of Israel into the promised land. He lost out with God. And how important that is to us as God's people, that we be patient, that we be long-suffering with others day by day, and even other believers in Christ. How important it is that we show forbearance and patience one toward another. Yes, Paul prayed that they would have a powerful walk. Notice one other final thing here in connection with this prayer. It was a worthy walk. It was a powerful walk. It was a walk that was to know God's strength, that was to increase in the knowledge of God. But one final thing, Paul prayed here that these Colossians would have a thankful walk. Look at the latter words there of verse 11, and notice how verse 12 begins. He says, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering. Notice this, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. Here he was praying that their walk would be marked by joy and by thanksgiving. May if these Christians were to walk worthy of the Lord, then thanksgiving and joy must be the mark of their life as Christians. And my, due to God's strength, due to that power that Paul had earlier prayed about there at the beginning of verse number 11, that this was possible for them. Even in the most difficult, even in the most trying of circumstances, their testimony could be marked by joy and thanksgiving. And brethren and sisters in Christ, this is how we are to walk and live the Christian life as well. This is how we are to walk worthy of the Lord. Our life is to be marked as God's people with joy and with thanksgiving, even as the people of God. There's no joy in the world. There's no joy or thanksgiving amongst the ungodly. But that should not be so with us as God's people. Our lives are to be marked with joy, with thanksgiving. Think of the wee chorus we often love to sing. If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. And our lives are to be marked with joy. Turn back there to Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse number 20. Look at what it says, Ephesians 5, verse number 20, and here's again applicable to God's people. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our lives are to be marked by thanksgiving. Our lives are to be marked by joyfulness as the people of God. And that's what speaks for God to amongst the ungodly that we rub shoulders with day by day when they see in our lives, even in times of trial, times of difficulty. They see the joy of the Lord in our hearts. They see that thankful spirit in our souls. And people, by God's grace, such a testimony is possible in times of trial and battle and adversity and tribulation. Remember what Paul said to the church at Philippi? He says, rejoice in the Lord always. My, the Christian who walks worthy of the Lord is constantly giving thanks to the Lord. For what? For his salvation. And my, as Christians, we have so much to thank God for even tonight. We have so much to be joyful for as the people of God. We can thank God for our salvation. What does our salvation entail? Well, look at verse number 12. It entails there a heavenly inheritance. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us, notice, meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints and light. And that speaks of heaven, speaks of glory. That's something to praise God for every day of our lives as Christians, that we're saved from the wrath to come, that we have an inheritance in glory through Christ. Something else we can be joyful about and thankful for is that we've been delivered from the powers of darkness. Look at verse 13 there of the chapter. Notice what it says. It says, who have delivered us, it says, from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Christian, you've been brought out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the devil's domain. We have been brought into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of God's marvelous light. Is that not something to rejoice in, to praise God for? Day by day, through the grace of God, we've been brought into God's family. And then we can praise God for the forgiveness, the pardon of all of their sin. Notice how Paul mentions that at the end of our reading, verse 14. He says, of the Lord in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What a blessing to rejoice in. All our sins have been forgiven. How? By the ransom price of Christ's precious blood. The guilt of our sin has been taken away. We're saved from the wrath to come as the people of God. And all these blessings are our present portion in Christ. This is something to rejoice in daily. These are blessings we can thank God for even in the testings and the trials and the battles of life. And Christian, don't let the devil, don't let the world rob you of the joy of your salvation. Keep before you what God has done for you in Christ. Your sins are forgiven under the blood. You've been brought into God's family, into God's fold. And you're on your way to heaven. And on your way to glory. I was talking just to a brother in the Lord today, and his parting comment to me was this. He says, I'm just waiting to that time when the Lord calls me home to glory. That was his parting words to me. Ready and waiting for heaven. Ready and waiting for glory. And that's our great prize before us as the people of God. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ, intercessory prayer, praying for other Christians, is of great importance. It's of vital importance. And sure, that's something this passage would teach us. As we pray for ourselves, as we pray for our fellow believers here in our church and others that we know in the community and God's work further afield, yes, let us pray. Pray that we'll grow in the knowledge of the Lord, the knowledge of his will, that we'll walk worthy of the Lord, that we'll do those things that are pleasing in the sight of God, and that our life, our testimony, will be marked by thankfulness and joy as the people of God. Billy Bray was a Cornish tin miner. He was a wild, rough character before he was saved down in Cornwall, but the Lord saved him, transformed his life. He was a very eccentric character. But one of the things that was noted about his life was the joy he had in the Lord. And it was said, if Billy Bray, if you put him in a barrel and threw him in the sea and took the bunghole out of the barrel, even though the barrel would be sinking, he'd still be praising the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord. And we too are to rejoice in the Lord. We're to be joyful in the Lord, even in these days in which we live. May God bless his word and his truth to our hearts and our souls tonight. We'll turn again just in our hymn sheet to our second hymn tonight before we get down to prayer. Another great hymn about Christ and his incarnation and what he's done for us, and indeed what he's yet to do for us as the people of God. Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful. Blessed be his name, seeking for me, seeking for me. And I know in salvation we often talk and preach about the sinner coming to the Lord, but you know, when you analyze it all down, it's really the Lord seeking us. The Lord seeking us out and searching us out, bringing us to himself in faith and in repentance for salvation. We'll stand as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts.
Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a
get down to our time of prayer. Just some prayer requests I want to draw to your attention. Do pray for the services this weekend. Pray for the Reverend Robinson as he comes to bring God's word. Did he know God's help and blessing? Let us also give thanks to the Lord for the meeting's last Lord day, for answered prayer, for visitors in morning and evening, unsaved in under the sound of God's word. Pray that the Lord would speak on to their hearts. Remember again the work of the Sunday school, the Bible class, youth fellowship, Bethel Children's Crusade, those meetings off at this time, but pray that God will speak on through his word. Remember the many calendars that have been given out. I know many of you here from the congregation have been giving out the wee gospel way of life calendar around the area and further feet. Pray, that's God's word. Pray that God will bless his word to the saving of souls here and further afield. And remember our missionaries as well at this time, those at home and those afar, that the Lord will draw near to them, that they know the Lord's presence. Remember the COVID situation as well, that the Lord would restrain that in our land. And then remember the sick and the ill connected with us. Do please remember Sister Miss Dorry Foy. Sister Dorry suffered a severe fall on Sunday in the Lord's Day, and she's down in Alton Galvin, has just went through surgery. So do pray for her, that the Lord would lay his healing hand upon her, that the Lord would raise her up. Remember Mrs. Dean also in hospital here in Enniskill, and pray for her and the family, that the Lord, the nearness of the Lord, the strength of the Lord. And do pray also for Daphne Stevenson's sister-in-law. Do Linda pray for her. She's ill in hospital in Belfast, seriously ill. Do remember her in your prayers, that the Lord would draw near and touch her. She's not saved. The Lord would speak to her and draw her to Christ. And there's others connected with us as well. Do ask you just to remember my wife's sister as well, as you know, has been ill, and they've really put her on a list now for a full lung transplant. So pray that that will come to pass. It's major surgery. She's just a young woman, but that the Lord would intervene, and that might come to pass even sooner rather than later in the will of the Lord. But these are just some things to pray about. I don't want to tie you to these things. Whatever else the Lord lays upon your heart, but let us pray one with another and one for another, as the Lord would lead us in prayer tonight, men and women, young and old alike. Well, maybe ask her.